As Don mentioned this morning, today we're going to begin a little summer series. And so I decided it's kind of a Greek preposition summer. I'm doing another Greek preposition for prayer meeting and for the afternoon service for the summer. We're going to look at this Greek preposition. And this Greek preposition is ek. And so in the Greek, this is just epsilon kappa. And does anybody know what this is right here?
Awesome.
Close.
Breathing mark.
It, what kind of breathing mark? Courtney is right. It's a smooth breathing mark. Now, what does a smooth breathing mark tell you in the Greek? Now, I'm just doing this because I know a lot of you are carrying, well, you guys are carrying interlinears, and so I'm just going to do a couple things. This is just a little fun. Is the smooth breathing mark isn't going to give you any more information as far as pronunciation. You don't pronounce it. Now, like I said earlier, we're in prayer meeting. We are looking at this Greek preposition. And this is huper. Now, this is a breathing mark also, but you see, this is the other direction. This is like a left-handed single quote. So we call this a rough breathing mark. So the rough tells you that this has an H sound. So when you're looking at your interlinear, you would pronounce this who, and then we would divide the syllable here, huper. Now, this is equivalent to our English P, and this is equivalent to our English R. This is a row. It looks like a P, but that's in the Greek, that's the R sound. And so this is huper with a rough breathing mark. Over here we have a smooth breathing mark, and this is ek. Now, I wrote it two times because in your Greek interlinear, if you're looking at that, if the next word or the next letter begins with a vowel, then this kappa changes to a z. And so this is the same word, but it just depends on what the following letter or word is. And so I wanted you to know that if you're looking at an interlinear, if you see this, ek, or if you see this, it's the same word. Now, when we talk about ek, it's a kind of a simpler word as far as Greek prepositions go, because we only find it with one case. And so some prepositions, like huper, the case, the word that follows it, will tell you what case it's with. And so you'll have to memorize two definitions, one for each case. For ek, there's only one. It's always with what we call the ablative case, which would be a genitive or ablative form. And so when we're talking about ek, it has the idea of out from. And so you probably hear me retranslate a lot of ek as out from. And it's the opposite of eis. When we talk about eis, is a very important Greek preposition that typically means into. Well, ek means out from. And so it often identifies the source from which something originates. Now, I wanted to point this out to you. If you're looking at an interlinear, we do have another word that's translated from in the Greek. It's a Greek preposition, apo. And it means of or from. And it has the idea of separation as well. But it describes an object that were on, by, or with another. Where our ek, has the idea from within. And so when we're talking about ek, it's different from apo. So if you see of or from, you need to look over in your Greek to see which word it is. And so the series we're going to do this summer is we're going to take a look at ek as I've systematized it with certain subjects. And so today we'll introduce ek, and then each of the following weeks we'll look at areas where ek makes a difference, and where it's systematized, we'll look at subjects like out from God, out from the heavens, out from the heart, And so there's, as we systematize that and organize that in the New Testament, we learn a lot of interesting things. And so ek, it's a pretty frequently used Greek preposition. We find it about 910 times to 921 times in the New Testament, depending upon which group of text you're going with. Now, John, he uses ek more than any other writer. And let's see. In our King James, we typically see ek translated as of, from, out of, by, and sometimes even on. But when we get down to it, we can keep just the basic meaning of ek, which is out from, and it helps distinguish it from the other Greek preposition that's translated from. And so I want to go through, and we'll just look at a few examples today as we're going to introduce this. So as we look at the uses in the New Testament, we see ek used of the place of which something has moved out from. And so for example of this, let's go, now, can anybody tell me there's a 316 in the New Testament? Yeah, where Jesus was baptized. Do you, anybody remember that? That would be in Matthew 3:16. And then the verse that follows that in Matthew 3:17, we have an ek that's going to demonstrate ek used of the place of which something moved out from. And so in Matthew 3:17, we're talking about a voice. So let's go to Matthew 3:17. And in our King James, we see this just translated as from. But it's not apo, it's ek, out from. And so let's go ahead and read Matthew 3:16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. I'm not going to pick up some of the other eks in the context. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, out from heaven. And so saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so here we see, hear this voice. We see this voice that's coming out from heaven. We see that's where this voice is coming from. And it's literally out from the heavens. It's plural here. And so there is one example. Let's go over to let's go for another one dealing with in a similar way over to the book of John in chapter 1. And let's go to verse 19. And again, in the King James, we're going to see this translated as from. And you're going to see it's out from, though, Jerusalem. Out from within Jerusalem. And this is dealing with John the Baptizer. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, out from Jerusalem, to ask him, who art thou? And so again, we see ek here used of a place in which something was moved out from. And here, these are these Jews, they sent priests and Levites, though, out from Jerusalem. And so there's another example. Now, we also see ek used to describe something or someone out from amidst of a group or a number. And so we're right here in John chapter 1. Let's just continue with this context. And we're going to see this used. And so we're going to find out some more of this about this group that were sent out from Jerusalem. We're going to see that they were out from a group called the Pharisees. And so we're going to see that in verse 24. But I'm just going to keep reading where we left off in verse 20. Remember, this is John the Baptizer. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And then in our verse 24, we see, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And so here in verse 24, we see our word just, it's translated of here. Of. And it's our Greek preposition ek. They were out from the Pharisees. So it just gives us a little more information. It's just a little more precise. And so it can be stilted to say out from every time we see ek. But I like it because it's very precise and it gives us a lot of information. And as we go on further, you'll see that, I trust. Now let's go ahead and take a look at one other example where we see it describing someone or something as being out from the midst of a group or a number. And let's go, we'll stay in the book of John, but let's go to chapter 20 and verse 24. And so here we're going to see this Greek preposition, and it describes Thomas as being one out from the 12, talking about the 12 disciples here. And so, now this is after the Lord's resurrection, and it says, but Thomas, one of the 12. And so it's just translated of here in the King James. And it's our Greek preposition ek, out from. Thomas, one out from the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so we just, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see it, his hands and the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so here we have doubting Thomas, of course. But here's another example of Thomas was just, he was out from the midst of this group known as the 12 disciples. Now, ek is also used to describe the direction of one thing to another. So let's take a couple examples here we'll consider. Let's go to the book of Matthew in chapter 20 and verse 21. Then before we read verse 21, let's read verse 20. And then came to him here would be Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Now, do we know who these sons are? Yeah, do we? There we go. Somebody remembers. And what 3:16 would we find those two associated with? Mark. Yep, and in 3:17, you see the sons of Zebedee, James and John, who Jesus gave them the name Boanerges, meaning sons of thunder. And so here, then, came to Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? He's just, what are you desiring? And she said unto him, grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on thy right hand. Now, in our English, they translated ek as on thy right hand. And so that's kind of our English. Now, you don't take that literally. That just means on, to, out to the right. Well, in the Greek, it's just much more precise. It just says, grant that my two sons may sit, the one out from thy right hand. You see, it's out from, as to direction, his right hand. And the other out from the left. And so we have ek twice in this verse. And both times in the English, they just translate it as on. And we understand what that means. But again, the Greek, just knowing the Greek, it just makes it real clear what they're saying. Is she's asking Jesus here that one of her son is going to sit out from his right hand. The other one's going to sit out from his left hand. In thy kingdom. You see that? And then, and let's just go ahead and read his answer. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he says unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on, and he uses the same word ek, out from my right hand and to sit out from my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And of their, of my Father is just another Greek preposition that means directly by my Father. So here you see a couple examples of it used to describe the direction, though, of one thing to another. Let's go and look at one other place, and we find this over in Acts, in Acts chapter 7, and this is dealing with Stephen. And so in Acts 7, we have Stephen here just before he's going to be stoned to sleep. So it's Acts 7:55. And for time's sake, we won't pick up the context, but this is Stephen, and you can carry it up further and see that this is just prior to him being stoned. And we'll see used in Acts 7:55 and again in 56. And he, Stephen here, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so it's just the Greek preposition ek that they translated on. He saw Jesus standing out from the right hand of God. And then in verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on, or just out from, the right hand of God. Now you can see this is going to really get the Jews fired up. Because what did they do? They says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stomped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And so you can read there, and you see in verse 60, the end of verse 60, that he fell asleep, the sleep of physical death there. And so they stoned him for verbalizing what he saw. Well, that wasn't the only reason, but that really got him going. But there we see it again, act used of describing the direction that Jesus was standing out from the right hand of God. And so there are some different examples. We can also see it used, the Greek preposition ek, used in reference to a point of time in which time moves forward from. And so it's a reference to a point in which time moves forward from. And so let's go back to Luke chapter 1, and we'll see this used in verse 15. And so in Luke chapter 1 here, in this context, we're it's considering John the Baptizer, who will be the baptizer. And in verse 15, and he shall be great in the eyes of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, just out from his mother's womb. And so here we see it translated from, and it's just out from his mother's womb, from that point forward. Again, we can see this used over in John chapter 9 and verse 1. And this is Jesus, and he's going to pass by this blind man. And he's going to make a comment. And so in John 9, 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Just, and it's our Greek preposition ek, out from his birth. And so you see it's has a kind of a time component, out from birth and moving forward. And so, again, just two examples there of ek being used in reference to a point in time as it moves forward. Now, where we'll probably spend a large part of our time is in this next section, and this is where ek is designated in showing the origin or source of something. And so let's look at a couple of these examples. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:22. And so again, in this, we're looking at ek being used to designate the origin or source of something. And so in 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul here is telling Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow or pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And you should recognize three of those as parts of the fruit from the Spirit. He says, but be pursuing these four things with them that call on the Lord and out of a pure heart, is how the King James translates this. And this is our ek preposition, out from a pure heart. So the pure heart is where they're supposed to be pursuing these things out from. And so here, the pure heart, though, is the origin of the source of the things they're of what they're to be pursuing is out of a pure heart. Now let's go ahead and go over to Galatians 3:11. We have another example, and I hope you'll start to see how this little Greek preposition, it just brings clarity. It's going to bring clarity to some of the verses that we'll end up covering. And so in Galatians 3:11, it says, but that no man is justified, the idea of declared righteous, by, and it's anarthros in the Greek law, a quality of law, in the sight of God. It is evident. For, and it just reads the King James, the just shall live by faith. Well, here they translate in the King James, they translated ek by. But you can see if you know that this is the ek preposition, it just gives a little more clarity. The just, the righteous shall live out from faith. Now that's important because if you remember when you were baptized into Christ, now you probably don't remember, but hopefully you know now that you've related to God's word, but you became a righteousness, a quality of righteousness of God in him. And so the righteous shall live out from faith as to source. Now remember, faith is a part of the fruit from the Spirit. And we happen to live in the dispensation of grace. And Paul calls this dispensation the dispensation from God, the one by faith, by faith. And so if we're going to live out from faith, we're not going to be the source of that faith because it's part of the provisions of our salvation. A Spirit-filled Christian, filled by the Spirit, the fruit from the Spirit was faith. So the righteous shall live out from faith. Let's go to another one. Let's go over to Galatians. We're in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 6:8, and you can see how this little Greek preposition can give some clarity. And so over in Galatians 6:8, it says here, "For he that sows to his flesh shall," now here this next word "of," "shall of the flesh," it's our Greek preposition "ek." So you see it, this is focusing on "out from" as to source. And so a lot of times I like to translate that way just so you can get the thrust of that little preposition. "For he that sows to his flesh shall out from the flesh as to source reap corruption." Okay? And so he's talking here about the flesh in relationship to the sin nature, by the way. And so he's that's sowing to his flesh, out from the flesh is the source, we're going to reap corruption. But he that sows to, or I would translate this because of, it's a could be a causal ice. We don't need to focus on that right now. But he that sows to, or because of the Spirit, shall, here's our Greek preposition again, ek, out from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so here you see this. This brings out a little more of God's truth when we understand ek. It's not just he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit. It's out from the Spirit as the source shall reap eternal life. And so now we could comment on this. I made a reference to because of here. But he that sows to or because of the Spirit. And I choose to translate that because of as a causal ice. And you can go over. Well, I've done it now. I've got to take you there. Let's go over to Philippians 2:13. This is a sideline. This doesn't deal with ek. This deals with ice. I get sidetracked on a different preposition. In Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which works in you both to will," to do of His good pleasure. And so here I believe God here is anarthrous, which works in you both to will, the idea to desire, and to do of His good pleasure. And so then when you come back over to Galatians 6:8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall out from the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows because of the Spirit," that's one of the reasons, that's why I think Scripture supports this being a causal ice, "shall out from the Spirit reap eternal life." Okay, so let's go ahead and I'm going to look at a few other things here. Dealing with the ek preposition and soteriology. Because the ek preposition will help you to understand some things regarding your salvation and who's the source of that salvation. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 John. Now, John likes to use ek, and John sprinkles them all over, and they're very significant. I'm not going to work the context. I'm just going to, as we introduce this, I just want to show you, because we'll come back to these verses as we look at ek from different perspectives here. But in 1 John 4:4, here the Apostle John is telling these believers, it says they are, in our King James, it doesn't help us here. It says, "You are of God." So it just translates our ek preposition of, which is fine, but you get a little more clarity when you understand that's represented by ek, out from as to source. So here he says, you, ye all. And so you all, ye is plural. Ye are out from God as the source. Little children. He says little born ones here. He uses this term, little born ones, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here he reminds them that you are out from God as to source. And there's some other things we could do in that context. We'll save that for another day. Let's go to 1 John 2:29. Now again, you're going to see ek translated in this verse, in the King James anyway, as of. Now, this is 1 John 2:29. And at the very end of the verse, it says, born of him. And it's our Greek preposition that's been translated of again. It says, if you all intuitively know that he is righteous, you experientially know. So we have a change in how he uses in the Greek the words for know. You experientially know that everyone doing righteousness is born out from him. Born out from him as the source. And so again, just another place that we see that it just makes a little difference. Just a little clarity, a little nuance to God's truth. Over in 1 John 4:6, we could have gone there, but earlier when we were in 4:4, but let's go over to 1 John 4:6. Here John includes himself when he says, we are of God. And it's the Greek preposition ek, out from. We are out from God as to source. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God, and again, ek is used again. He that is not out from God as to source hears not us, does not hear us. And he goes, and then he says, and then he uses again, he uses ek, and it's translated hereby. It says that just out from this, we experientially know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And of course, he goes on in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love, and then we have another ek. For love is out from God as to source. So here's a place to show you that a carnal believer, remember our word, what carnal just literally means pertaining to or emanating the things from the flesh. Somebody who's sowing out from the flesh reaps corruption. Love, agape love, isn't out from the flesh. It's out from the spirit. And so here he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is out from God as to source. You're going to have to be a spirit-filled Christian to be able to agape love, to love like Christ, to fulfill the new commandment. He says, and everyone that is loving is born out from God as to source and experientially knows God. So here you can see this little ek preposition. We've covered it just in these few verses. You start to see it brings a lot of clarity. It just really emphasizes some things in God's Word that are precious, that are valuable. Let's look at 1 John 3:9. And so here we have a whosoever. But in the Greek, we just translate this everyone. Just everyone, the ones having been born out from God, out from the God as the source, do not, and the King James reads, commit sin, just habitually sin. And so, just all the ones having been born out from the God as the source, they do not habitually sin. for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, the idea of habitually sin, because he is born out from God. He's born out from God as the source. God here is looked at as the source of one's new birth. And so that would be consistent with other things we know in Scripture. Let's go and let's look at a few more while we're introducing Eck, and you can see. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. Let's go to John 3:5. And here we have Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And he's going to use this ek preposition. Let's read 3:4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" So he's not understanding what this new birth is. He says, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily," or just "truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born out from water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so here, this is... He's talking about the same thing. He says, except a man be born out from water, even the Spirit. Now, you can do that when you translate Kai, even the Spirit, here, when it's talking about the same thing. And he's talking about this being born out from the water, even the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That needs to be the source of the new birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, hold your finger here, because we have two more X in 3:6 that we're going to come back to and take a look at. But I just said that the water and the Spirit are the same thing, and that's why we translated it. You have to be a man be born out from, as the source, water, even the Spirit. So to show you that, let's just go to John 7:37, because John's going to tell you here. In 39, but we need to pick up in verse 37. So John 7:37. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, John's going to help you understand here what he's talking about. He has his commentary in verse 39. "But this spake he of," or concerning, "the Spirit," not "which," because the Holy Spirit is a person. So I would translate this who "they that believe on should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet sent," because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Remember, it was expedient for him to go into the Father, so that he could send the Holy Spirit. But here you see, John tells you that this is what he's talking about, the rivers of this living water, the Holy Spirit. And so when we go back to John 3:5, that's why I translate it that way, "Except a man be born out from the water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Dealing here with the kingdom of salvation. And in verse 6, "That which is born out from the flesh is flesh." And that's true. That which is born out from flesh as the source is flesh. And that which is born out from, as the source, the Spirit, is spirit. And so this is where we go to show that the new birth takes place in the realm of one's human spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who brings this about. So again, this little ek preposition, hopefully you're catching some of the significance of those. Let's go over to the book of Titus now. And in Titus, we want to go to Titus 3:5. Now here in the English, they're going to translate ek by. And so it makes a difference for you to see that this is ek and it's out from. In Titus 3:5, it starts in the English, not by works. This is the by that they translated the ek preposition here. If you have an interlinear, look over and you'll see it's this version here, because the next word begins with a vowel, and so that changes that kappa to a z, and so it's still ek. And so, not out from works of righteousness which we have done. See, that's not the source. It's not out from works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And I would not translate this by, but through the washing of regeneration and the renewedness from the Holy Spirit. And so here we see it used, emphasizing it's not out from works as the source of righteousness which we have done. Now I'm going to just show you a couple other things, then we'll conclude our introductory. And then next week we're going to, as we've systematized how ek is used, we'll look at it in that way as we continue on with this series. But I want to show you that God also is the source of you being in Christ Jesus. And the little Greek preposition ek helps us to see that. And so if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to pick up in verse 29. Now in verse 29, the King James chose not to translate the Greek literally, because there's not a textual problem. It says that no flesh should boast in his presence. And it's just before the God. If you look over in your interlinear, it says that no flesh should boast. It's not the word glory here, it's the word for boast, but it's before the God. And so here we see the Father reference. That's the antecedent to what we're going to be talking about in verse 30. So that's why I'm starting in verse 29. Because now in verse 30 it says, but of him. That word of that they translated there, that's our Greek preposition ek. But out from him, going back to the God in verse 29. But out from him are you in Christ Jesus. And so here's a very clear statement that the Father is being looked at as the source of the Christian being in Christ Jesus. Now we know it's the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who's going to immerse the believer into Christ. But in this particular context, the Father is being focused on as the source. And so, but out from him are you in Christ Jesus, who from God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. Let's go ahead and go over to 2 Corinthians. And we'll just look at one other place here. And I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Now, the King James adds an ellipsis that shouldn't be there, doesn't need to be there. The ellipsis doesn't help. And so I want to read it without the ellipsis. And you see it as italicized in your King James. Therefore, if any man or anyone is in Christ, a new creation. He's not saying he's a new creation. He's saying you in Christ are part of a new creation. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he's talking about a new position, new possessions in Christ. In verse 18, and all things are out from the God. And so I went ahead and changed the translation so you could see the ek preposition. And all things, says, are of God in the King James. It's our ek preposition, out from. All things are out from, and it's articular. God here is articular. All things are out from the God as to source. And so in this context, we won't stay in here. We'll be back here later. But we see the context is dealing with our new position and the possessions that we have as a result of being in Christ. And these things are seen as out from God, the Father, as to source, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so, anyway, these are just a few of the X. When we come back next week, we'll start to look at them in groups, how X used, and we'll look at, I haven't decided which one we're going to do first, if it's going to be out from God. But that's what we'll be doing in the afternoon service, Lord willing, for the summer, is we'll be going through some of those topicals. And so we won't be preaching Eck, but we're going to use Eck to bring us into certain subjects. That's close. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful for your truths. We're just thankful for the preciseness of your word and that your Holy Spirit helps us to understand these valuable truths and to see things clearly. We're grateful as we see your truth that we see things more and more the way you do, and we're thankful for that. Thank you again for the day and the opportunities of the day. And again, we remember Pastor Dave, and just may you continue to bless him and strengthen him. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.